You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and 100.7. And we are also heard online everywhere in the United States and all over the world.
Yes, we are. We're on SitaMediaInc.com. For the last 10 years, we have all of our shows. Imagine that, 52 weeks, two guests a week. We got a lot of folks on there. And lots of folks can Google their name right on there, and it comes up with Viewpoint with Sita in front. So it's fantastic. We're also on Facebook, and all of our shows are also recorded and on demand at WWBC, which is 1510WWBC.com.
You know, one of the great things about sitting here every Monday with you and Samantha Nazario is that we get to speak with people from all over the world and different states in the United States about topics that are near and dear to all of us. Things that we all treasure, things, you know, about equality, the environment, opportunities, justice, most important, respect, empowerment. And we want freedom for people to be able to have the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to live, work, pay their taxes in the United States and be part of this great nation. But I feel exceptionally special when people say, look, I want to call in on your show because it is fun. And it is unscripted, and it's very informative and quite educational. Okay. And I get such a pleasure when people say, I heard something on your show, and I was able to save that phone number for later on for my use. Like one of our friends just broke her ankle, and I immediately sent her a private message, and I said, please see if you could contact Dr. Allison Wade. Mm-hmm. Right? And, you know, because she was on our show. I mean, you're not going to break your foot the minute she gets off the show, but you're going to have the number in your phone.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, exactly right.
And so that's one of the great things about having, like Paul always say, community radio is not only are we taking care of people in Brevard, but we're helping them as well. We're giving them valuable information just in case they need something later on.
And hopefully we spark, right, the resources in there and whoever's community. So if you're not in Brevard County community, certainly in your own community, this is a great way to get resources and be able to help network with each other.
Right. And so this weekend I worked, Ellen. So I had a great time. But, you know, I just wanted to tell our friends and listeners of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, there's so much to growing old. There's so much to Mr. Death waiting to take everybody at some point, right? Doctors and pharmaceutical companies and corporations, they all bear responsibility for human life, just like everybody else. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she said, you know, her doctor put her on Lasix 40 milligrams every day. But if you're 85 years old and you're on Lasix 40 milligrams a day, you have to be near a bathroom. You're going to be wanting to use the toilet a lot, right? Yep. So I just want people to start thinking, we live in a world where we should care, compassion for everyone, whether you're a janitor or whether you're a physician. When you put that patient on 40 milligrams of Lasix a day, think about it. As her physician or her family members, who is going to be there to take this person to the bathroom? Because not everyone is ambulatory. Some people are sitting in a wheelchair because they're ill. And so I said to my friend, you know, I feel for you because I think the conversation was around that when she takes her pills, she cannot make it to the bathroom. So then what happens? You get soiled yourself and you end up at a bed sore, and then you end up in a nursing home or hospital and that's it. So I think all of us bear responsibility to take care of each other. We live in a service-oriented world, whether we like it or not. Very don't we? True.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. Respect and dignity for human life. And, you know, you hear so many people talking about life and how they're pro-life or they're, you know, pro-choice or whatever. But when that baby comes out of that womb, it's a human being that needs an affordable place to live. The parents have to have health care. They have to have a clean environment. We have to have environmental justice so that the child can breathe. We all talk about oxygen and carbon dioxide, and with COVID-19, everybody now knows what is a respirator, and they knows, you know, what is it is to wear a mask and oxygen, and, you know, people are talking about the positions to put somebody in to get phlegm out of their lungs. But it's all about the environment, right? We are what we eat, sleep, and breathe. And so I was on Facebook, and I was talking with a friend of mine, Chuck O'Neill, and I was so interested in what they're doing for the rights of nature and the rights of clean water. You do need to make milk for that baby with clean water. And we're seeing what's happening with Florida and the environment. And so I invited my friend Chuck O'Neill to call in. And Sam's going to just tell our audience quickly a little bit about our friend Chuck O'Neill. He already called in. And so, Chuck, I know you're on the phone. We just want to introduce you to our listening audience, and then we'll have you join in the conversation.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Chuck O'Neill graduated in 1977, the year I was born, from Duke University with two majors, mathematics and public policy. Since graduating from college, he has started and managed numerous small businesses, from real estate appraising to local television production. You've been very busy, Mr. O'Neill. Since 1997, Chuck has been the president of the residential investment company that recycles older homes and rents them out to people with pets.
Right. And Chuck, I especially like what you do, because as I get older, I'm getting more attached to Mother Earth, but I also know I have to leave Mother Earth one day, and I want to leave a footprint behind for the next generation that's better than the way we found it. And I wonder why more people don't think like me, but I know you do. So welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and friends here on AM 1510 on WWBC. We're also on AM 1510, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. Hello.
Great to be with you today, Sita. You know, a lot of what you were saying before I came on rings true to what we did in Orange County. We looked around and saw that our waterways were clogged with algae, toxic blue-green algae, that our lakes were no longer clean. They're no longer inviting to go swimming in. Even the springs, I back up to Wakiva Springs, and even the springs have turned green, and what used to be a white sandy bottom at the spring head is now choked with algae. So, you know, when you look at what is causing this, what is causing this here, and especially what's causing this with the Indian River Lagoon, it's an overload in what they call nutrients, nitrates and phosphorus in the water. Those supercharge growth of algae, and that algae can choke out the seagrass at the bottom of the lagoon. It's where the fish lay their eggs. It makes the water toxic to fish, in some cases, marine mammals, manatees. So what can we do? You know, what can we do? We have an overload of these elements, nitrogen and phosphorus, that mainly come from two sources, from wastewater and from fertilizer. And over in Brevard County, you have a lot of septic tanks that leach into the superficial aquifer that runs into canals and runs into the Indian River Lagoon. So we have these regulatory bodies in the state that are supposed to keep our waterways clean. And we look and, you know, from every year, they just keep getting worse and worse. And the question is, why? We have all these regulatory agencies. Why are our waterways getting worse? And the reality is, it comes down to the way things were originally set up in this country. You either were a person or a thing. And persons have rights, and things don't have rights. A person can do what he wants with his property. And so we have this whole body of law about private property rights. Don't tread on me, right?
Yes.
But
well, people used to care. You know what it is? People used to care about what their families ate. They used to care about the elderly. They used to care about what they're eating and drinking. And it's like, as we got bigger and the corporation started taking over, everything kind of, I think, fell by the wayside a little bit.
Sure. Well, you know, corporations in the mid-19th century, through a Supreme Court ruling, were ruled to be people. So you have a corporation going for a permit, and the permits are generally something, a permit to pollute or a permit to draw water, something that regulates the decline of nature. But it doesn't restore nature. It just slows down the decline. So what we have is a system that is programmed for failure, right? It's programmed to issue permits to do more and more damage until that system fails. But it is not programmed to recover that system. And how do we get back to the point? How do we get back to the point where the Indian River Lagoon is blue and clear and you can swim in it and the fish are thriving? How do we get back to that point? And the only way that I've found that we can get back to that point is to build a body of law that gives those waterways rights to exist free of pollution, the right to flow, the right to maintain a healthy ecosystem. Those are the rights that we put on the ballot here in Orange County in November of last year in the form of a charter amendment. And that charter amendment passed with 89% of the vote. So it wasn't a Democratic issue or a Republican issue. This was a common sense issue that our state is dying and we have to do something radical. And I'll go ahead and say the word radical to bring it back, because the Latin root of the word radical is radix, which means change. We have to get to a root change. We have to change at the root. Radix is root. So we have to look at nature in a different light and say, in order to protect this, we have to give this body of water rights.
And well, you know, a lot of human beings, Chuck, I think they feel as though nature is theirs for the taking. They will not give anything to nature, but they feel as though once they're born, it's like a reserve there that whatever you need from nature, you can have it. But that's not the case. Nature just can't keep giving her resources and we give back none. That equation doesn't work anymore.
And I think that in Florida, there's a misconception because there's so much conservation here that people don't pay attention to the things that aren't being conserved under the law that still need our care and attention.
Yes.
Sure.
Correct.
Sure. Yeah.
So Chuck, why does Florida need the rights of nature laws? Because people would say, well, everything is already protected, but you're saying that Orange County took it one step further and said and recognized what was happening with these big developers and the contractors and the people who were not paying attention to the blue-green algae and the waterways and all that. So explain to our audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, why do we need the rights?
Sure. When we have a situation where, let's say, somebody's going for a permit to dump so much pollutant into the waterways here in Orange County, right now, if it's a corporation has the rights of a person. So when it comes to a decision between who's going to benefit the corporation or the natural water body, the water body is a thing, the corporation is a person, and therefore, more often than not, they get the permit. So in order to maintain a balance, we have to balance out the equation. We have to say, all right, wait, you want to do this amount of damage to the waterway, but the waterway also has a right to exist and maintain a healthy ecosystem. So we have to balance these two things out. It's not where one has dominance over the other, because we all have to live and exist and make a living, but you have to give the water body some type of rights to balance out so that we get to a place where we can all live here. You know, the Florida biologically was never designed to hold 21 million people. we just don't have that natural capacity to supply fresh water and all the things that 21 million people need to live. So we're going to have to adjust the way we look at nature and the way we call upon nature to support us, our health, and our well-being.
Yeah, why do you think there's such a pushback at times from politicians? Is it really, like they say, big money? Like we saw what happened with Lake Okeechobee, and we saw what happened with the sugar industry there. And people always say, well, there's money in politics. But what will it take for not just a regular human being on planet Earth, but for the politicians to say, well, when something happens to the lakes, when something happened to the rivers, when something happened in nature, it affects all of us.
Sure. Well, fortunately, in Florida, we live in a state that enables citizens to put forward citizens' initiatives, for instance, on the statewide ballot. Because these are the kind of things that can only pass under the citizens voting on. When conservation is put in front of citizens, generally, they're overwhelmingly in support. But when it goes to the legislature, those people are put there by moneyed interest. People who are, extractive industries, polluting industries. These companies that fund the candidates to a large extent are the ones that are reaping the profit from the exploitation of nature. So they are putting the people in the legislature, and those people are writing the laws. But we have ways to work around that, such as the Citizens Initiative process. In Orange County, we went through the charter review process, where it really did not go in front of anyone other than a 15-member panel of citizens, the Charter Review Commission. And then from there, it went straight to the ballot. So it did not go in front of people who are taking large donations from large corporations. They're benefiting by exploiting nature.
Let's talk a little bit about the tourism industry. And Samantha has a question for you.
Hi, Mr. O'Neill.
Hi.
What rights of nature laws hurt Florida's business and economy?
Well, In my opinion, they don't hurt it at all, because our economy depends on tourism. We need to have visitors from around the world come here, go to our restaurants, stay in our hotels, go to whatever attractions they're going to go to, ecotourism, etc. So if we don't protect this goose that's laying the golden eggs, our waterways, our tourism economy is going to die off, and we, as far as business people, and I'm a business person, our businesses are going to hurt, and we're going to lose business. So I am very much pro-business. I'm very much pro-environment, and I think there's room for both of those to exist as long as we acknowledge that our environment, our waterways, must be cleaned up.
You know, just to your point too, Mr. O'Neill, this is Ellen, by the way. Ellen O'Neill, by the way. So not that we're related,
oh, wow.
But yeah, I know. There's not many of us. Irish Catholics,
back.
Right? But nonetheless, I look at all of the restaurants that are around here, especially in Brevard County, that used to be able to almost tout the fact that we had fresh fish from Indian River and fresh fish, yes, from right off the ocean. And they can no longer say that. They can't say it's fresh. It's a catch. It's a something new, but they're all, it's all frozen. So again, it kind of affects our health a little bit, because now we're not,
sure,
getting the fresh fish that we used to get and be able to get that somewhere, because the waterways are so challenged, So, I think about the ways those impacts, and you're just bringing up more and more things that we just all have to pay attention to, and that personal responsibility comes in.
Right. And the thing is, when tourists come to Florida, they're not coming to see blue green algae or red tides or dead marine fish lining up our shores, nor are they coming to risk their health, especially now with COVID-19, with breathing contaminated air. So these are things that I think education is so important, that people should start the conversations, not just on a legislative level or a political level. But, you know, when you're talking to your neighbors and your friends, bring up the conversation, because that's how we get more people to be involved in what's going on with our environment. So Chuck, tell us, will the rights of nature laws lead to a proliferation of lawsuits?
Yeah, that's one of the common misconceptions that gets put out there by opponents. And the reality is, in order to bring a lawsuit in the state of Florida, you have to have expert witnesses to prove that, for instance, a particular company is polluting a river and to what extent it's polluting that water body. And so you're going to be spending probably $50,000 to $150,000 to bring a lawsuit. And that is not something that is going to happen frivolously. We passed this in November. So far, there have been no lawsuits filed. Now, the opponents said, oh, the minute it passes, you know, the courts are going to be flooded with these lawsuits. But that hasn't happened. It takes a lot to bring a lawsuit. So, you know, the most egregious polluters need to worry. And I hope they do worry that there are going to be lawsuits brought against them. And I hope they start to clean up their act before a lawsuit gets filed.
Right, clean up their own backyard, you know. So the exactly. Florida Rights of Nature Network, you all have a website. If somebody wanted to get on there, and you know, some people don't have time, they don't have the energy, but maybe they have a few dollars to donate, give us the website for the Florida Rights of Nature Network.
Sure, it's www.fronn.org. So it's FRON, like Florida Rights of Nature Network, .org. There's a lot of good material on there, too, to learn more about the rights of nature. And we also have a Facebook page, the Florida Rights of Nature Network Facebook page, for people who want to learn more about it.
Mr. O'Neill, we have another question for you today.
Sure.
Will existing permit holders be under constant threat of litigation?
No, and that kind of goes back to the last question about, you know, is this going to lead to just a proliferation of lawsuits? if an existing permit holder is egregious in the way that they pollute, I hope they are worried. I hope they're concerned, and I hope they start cleaning up.
And I hope we all become guardians at litem.
Yeah,
you know, for the
well, exactly, and that's what it's about here in Orange County. Any individual can bring a lawsuit against a polluter, and when you have a situation like that, now let's say you're a major corporation and you've been dumping in the IRL for years and years and years, and nobody's ever saying anything because you have the system beat. You put the people in power, they write the laws, you got the permit, you're in great shape, and then all of a sudden one of these rights of nature laws gets passed. Now you have to think, well, oh wow, now anybody in Brevard County could sue them, and maybe we ought to start cleaning up the discharge before we get sued. So that
if only they would listen to their own two words, personal responsibility. But you know, I noticed that a lot of our friends were concerned about the Orange County Amendment, because they were saying that it may undermine the rights of the undocumented people, because it had said in there that it extends to only citizens who have legal residence in the United States. And they said that this undermines the rights of the undocumented people. So talk a little bit about that for us with the remaining 2 minutes we have.
Sure. As it went through the committee process and the Charter Review Committee, this is one of the things that was added to limit, for the sake of the lawsuit potential that we're talking about, that people would just move into the town, move into the county, and start filing lawsuits. So this was set up to provide for a stopgap to say somebody's got to be a resident of Orange County for a year before they can file a lawsuit. But everybody benefits, whether they're documented or undocumented. Everyone benefits from clean water. And regardless of who brings that lawsuit, the important thing is that the waterways get cleaned up and we all benefit from that.
Yeah, I think, you know, the right to exist, right? In order to be healthy and wholesome and be able to give back, all of us need to start thinking about the environment and not just in a small scale, on a large scale, because we are what we eat, drink, and breathe. Are we not, Chuck?
We are. We're the sum total of all we intake.
Yes.
And if what we intake is polluted with chemicals, that's not good for us.
That's right. And thank you so much, Mr. Chuck O'Neill, for sharing all of your knowledge today. I know all of our listeners, if you didn't have a pen and paper out, we definitely have everything listed for you on our website as well as our Facebook page, all of the great information that you shared. And we look forward to hearing from you again.
Yeah, we'd like for you to call back maybe in October, Chuck, if possible. I'm going to try to get our sponsors to sponsor you again, because the environment is a topic that's near and dear, not just to me as a human being, but as a Hindu, that's something that we hold near to us. When we do our prayers and things like that, we always talk about the earth, the wind, the fire, the water, and what we can do to leave the earth a better place than we found it for our children and grandchildren and the next generation.
Yes. So, Mr. Chuck O'Neill, thank you again for calling in on our segment. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be right back after these quick messages from our sponsors with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We're in our studio today with Samantha Nazario and Ellen Little, my right hand.
Yes.
Yes. Believe it or not, we have like a business meeting in between segments.
We do. We make the most of every minute.
Well, you know, the thing is, in order to have a successful radio show like we've had for 10 years on air, we started off 30 minutes and we quickly went to an hour, and then Paul, our producer, has to be paid every Monday for the airtime. And so in order to pay for the airtime, we have to have people who have quality ads and businesses. And so we've had Medfast and Dixie Crossroads and Patton Allen Jotkoff and Cloud Nine. And we're going to be adding on Champion Home Health, who we've had on our Facebook page forever, but now we're going to give them a little time. But Paul's voice, and I love Amy, and I think it'll be a great fit for our show. And so in between the show, we've been texting Amy so we can get Champion Home Held on. And so it's wonderful.
So but, welcome to the team, Amy.
Yeah, but you welcome, know, but Amy. But the thing is, you know, on the in order to for people to believe in you, you have to say what you believe, and your heart has to reflect that. And in the beginning, Ellen, I don't know if you remember when we first started, but Amy was one of our first sponsors.
I do.
As well as Patton Allen and Dixie and Cloud Nine and Medfast came along afterwards. But people have been so wonderful and generous. And, of course, we've had a wonderful friend with the chiropractor, the joint.
Yeah.
They've also helped my friend Karen Weber, who came on as a guest and then decided to help sponsor shows that God knows whenever it's dealing with the environment or voting rights or whatever it is, she's willing to jump in. And so I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say, why don't you do a show about what's going on with voting rights and suppression? And here's the thing, what I say is this, I come from a country where we vote on one day in Trinidad and Tobago, but the people who want to vote, they vote. And so we have had people here in the United States who we've had early voting, people vote on Sundays, people can go after work. We should be making voting easier in the United States, not harder.
Yes.
Do you
absolutely.
Ladies agree?
Yes, absolutely.
And so for that, my friend Robin Donaldson, who was the regional mobilizing manager for John Ossoff, now Senator John Ossoff, she's going to be joining us in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. She also is going to be talking a little bit about how Stacey Abrams won in Georgia, not won per se a seat, but how she helped others to win.
Right, sure.
And that's important because oppressive voting laws, it's got to go. Mm-hmm. Our democracy is at stake, and there was no evidence of widespread fraud in 2020. I'm not saying that there wasn't people that maybe tried to vote that wasn't a citizen, but they caught them. Because when I go to vote, I don't know if you, I vote by mail, and I've done it for the last few years. But my friends who vote in person, you cannot vote without an ID card. You have to have a voter's registration card.
And it was scanned in.
Yes. And so it's not like people could cheat, you know? So I'm not sure, you know, why that became an issue. But we have to deal with it. It's something. And so I invited my friend Robin to call in because I've had a lot of people who wanted to know how Georgia did it. And Georgia did it because there were people who cared, people who decided to give up, like Robin, time, energy, effort, money, ideas, and go out and knock on doors and talk to people. Now, we tried here, but we had a lot of pushback. We have a lot of pushback in Florida. So for our listeners who are tuning in, Robin Donaldson is based in Atlanta, Georgia. She's a former staffer for Senator John Ossoff and President Barack Obama's campaigns. She worked in organizing in Florida, Georgia, and Illinois. Illinois! I love Illinois. I lived there for a while. And presently, she's an educational and political consultant. Her program, Paths to Peace, work with political staffs and organizations to address issues around trauma, oppression, and so much more. She also does yoga and healing arts. And I invited Robin to call in because I love what Robin does. She inspires so many of us to go out and do the best we can to get people to have topics around the kitchen table that involves, why should you vote? Why should you care what is the price of a box of cereal? Why should you care what school your children go to? Why should you care if you have sidewalks in your neighborhood? Why should you care if you have blue-green algae in your waterways? Why should you care if who lives next to you and what they're doing? You should, because you know what? You should be neighborly. You should know what's going on in your community. And so I think communication, getting involved, knowing if you're registered to vote, where you're registered to vote, where's your precinct? Don't wait till election day to know where your precinct is. And yeah, check your ID, make sure your signatures match, and be that auntie in your family that asks everybody at the age of 18, are you registered to vote and how do you plan to vote? But now we're finding out that there's a lot of people, politicians, who want to suppress the vote. And that's not cool. We should be making it easier, not harder. So, Robin, I know you're calling in from Georgia, so good afternoon, and thanks for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Hi, Sita. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my God. I just saw your video. I feel like you're sitting here with me.
Oh, yeah. Yes. There were definitely people out there today at the Georgia State Capitol because our state legislature will be voting on two of the worst voter suppression bills in the country. You know, it's even worse than some of the attacks we've seen since Reconstruction. So that's where I was this morning, and then I'm happy to be here with you today.
So tell us, Robin, so you lead us through the process. What happened in Georgia, and tell us a little bit about, you know, I read this morning that Stacey Abrams wrote a couple of romance novels. Is that true?
Oh, yes. She's also a writer and artist in addition to everything else she does.
I'm like, I have to ask Robin, what the heck? I didn't even know that. So tell us a little bit about how did you guys pull off that win?
Well, you know, it was a combination of, you know, just years and years of the groundwork being laid in Georgia by people like Stacey Abrams and Lauren Groh-Wargo, the CEO of Fair Fight. As well as the local Democratic parties, local grassroots organizations, churches. You know, it was a real community effort across the state for at least a decade or more. And then as far as 2020 and 2021, again, it was really just going out into the community, you know, block by block, like President Obama likes to say, and just work building coalitions and working with one another to turn out the vote and make sure people had everything that they needed to feel empowered to go vote.
Right. And beautiful things happen when you start speaking with people who had preconceived notions and they had ideas in their head that we work against each other. Because I find when I open my mouth and I speak with someone who is a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent, once you start talking, everybody seems to want the same thing. People want an affordable wage. They want a health care. They want a safe place to live. At the core, everybody wants the same thing. So is that what you guys found when you went knocking on doors so that we could get John Ossoff and Reverend Warnock elected?
Yes, absolutely. The key issues during the runoff, especially really COVID relief was you know, at the top. Because Georgia's lost about 1% of its population to COVID deaths and deaths related to COVID, obviously because the way the governor handled everything during the start of the pandemic, and so that has really impacted Georgians. So you know, people have lost family members and friends and people in their communities, and then also you know, COVID relief obviously was a top issue, as well as health care and racial and you know, criminal justice reform.
Yeah,
along with voting rights, of course, always voting rights.
So you're right. So a lot of us feel like some politicians are wasting their time and taxpayers' dollars to aggressively battle a problem of widespread voter fraud that honestly I don't think exists.
And right, absolutely does not exist.
Right, it doesn't exist at all. And so my question is, what's happening in Georgia and what's the latest with the voters to suppression legislation there? Because it's mind-boggling to see so many bills being filed just so that people don't get to vote.
Exactly. So right now in Georgia, so like I said, it's two of the worst voter suppression bills in the country, SB 241 and HB 531. And really, it's an assault on our democracy based on these, you know, racist and this very far-right conspiracy theories around voter fraud and things that just were not true, things that have already been investigated from everyone from, you know, well, at the time, the acting attorney, well, the attorney, previous attorney general, William Barr, to other Republicans, the Democrats. It's been investigated. There's been recounts. You know, nothing has shown any widespread voter fraud or anything like that. So it's really an attack on black and brown voters and youth voters across the country who showed up in 2020 and who showed up in Georgia during the runoff. And so now they have these restrictive bills, I mean, all kind of crazy stuff in it. Like, they want to make it criminal. They want to criminalize people and organizations passing out water and food to people who are standing in line for hours. There were people fainting in Georgia last summer when people had to go out and vote during the pandemic. And so they want to criminalize that. They want to restrict voting hours during work hours, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So if you can't vote during that time, they don't care. They want to ban weekend voting. So again, you know, how does that impact you if you work on the weekend or you work during the week and you can't vote until the weekend? They want to ban absentee ballot boxes. They want to limit the time that you can drop off your absentee ballot. And they want to also require ID to request your ballot and ID to return your ballot. So already right now, when you fill out your voter, or sorry, your ballot request and you return your ballot, there's already safeguards and steps that are put in place to make sure that you are who you say you are. And there are people who, you know, cross-check that information against the voter file. So now they want to create extra barriers. So you have to send a copy of your driver's license in along with your ballot. And so, you know, that, of course, infringes on people's privacy. Like, if something happens to that, you know, once you mail it or drop it off, all your information is in there. And then if you don't have a copy machine and you're a senior citizen, maybe who lives in a rural area and you don't have a copy machine, if you can't get to a copy machine or a scanner, then you might not be able to vote by mail according to these new laws. So it's very restrictive. You know, it's like Jim Crow laws all over again. And this is not just happening in Georgia, but this is also happening across the country, because there's been 165 voting bills that suppress the vote that have been introduced in various state legislatures in 43 states.
Wow. So, well, you know, I've always thought that the clearest path to staying in power is to limit the number of people who are able to cast a ballot. And that's what it's coming down to. People who want to stay in power, they're going to try to limit those who can vote. But here's the thing. I don't understand, you know, why more people are not paying attention to this and there's not an uproar, because we are all taught when you turn 17, 18, get ready to get your ID card, your voter's registration card, so you can vote. So why make it difficult? I mean, here in Brevard, I remember, now I vote by mail a lot, but I remember when I went to vote, you showed them your driver's license and you voted. There was no scanning this and scanning that, and then they want you to send a paper now with your driver's license if you send it by mail and all that. You're right. Not everybody have a copying machine at home. So then people have to waste more time to go to what, Staples or Office Depot or someplace
and pay for it. A cup of coffee.
And if you have children, how do you have to arrange childcare? You can't cart the kids in and out of the car, or if you're elderly, they're making it awfully difficult. But, I mean, I'm grateful to you, Robin, for calling in and sharing that information with us.
Robin, what can we do in Georgia?
Yeah, absolutely. And I did want to mention, so if you're in Georgia, you definitely want to call your House representatives as well as your Senate representatives and ask if they vote no on these suppressive voting rights bills. And then if you're not in Georgia, pretty much everyone in the country, this is so important because it impacts the strength of our democracy. And so we want to make sure that we can pass the For the People Act. It is H.R. 1, For the People Act. It will modernize voting in this country because it doesn't make sense. If you live in one state, it could be easier for you to vote. One state, it's harder for you, and we're not operating on the same rules, but the For the People Act, HR1, will have automatic voter registration, same day and online voter registration. It'll protect against flawed purges, and it'll restore the Voting Rights Act, as well as restore the Voting Rights Act for people with prior convictions, and it'll strengthen our early voting and mail system. So we have to pass the For the People's Act, HR1, at the federal level in order to have protections to make sure in the future everyone has a fair shot at voting in this country, because that's what makes United States America and the democracy, and, you know, everyone should have full citizenship who is an American citizen, and voting is the bedrock of all of that.
Right, and I agree with you, Robin, because you know what's funny is they don't encourage children to vote. I encouraged my son the minute he turned 18, but we did get registered for selective service paperwork the minute he turned 18. That's automatic. So why shouldn't voting be the same way?
Right, it should, right? So, you know, people of color, right, black and brown people in particular, we're all hearing so many politicians saying things like election security. And it looks like people are using those two words just to scare the living daylights out of others. What exactly are they talking about when they say election security?
Well, it probably means voter intimidation. I mean, just based on what we're seeing, you know, in the laws, and as well as like incidents that have happened around the country. I mean, even here in Georgia, there's been, you know, in recent years where, you know, a politician who's in power uses law enforcement to intimidate voters, sending them to people's houses, you know, following people, you know, in their cars, you know, to the polls. So, I mean, this is, you know, all part of U.S. history. It's just, you know, kind of coming back around again. I really encourage everybody to watch the documentary All In, The Fight for Our Democracy. It's on Amazon Prime. I'm not with Amazon or anything like that, but it's just a good documentary that really shows you the history of voting rights in this country and just a lot of stories that people have never heard and how it applies to us today and what we're seeing with the backlash that we're seeing across the country against black and brown and young people and just people everywhere who wanted to see change in leadership. And, you know, we didn't, you know, it doesn't matter who is in power, but, you know, you have a change in leadership in the United States, and you vote every 4 years, and you know, people show that they wanted a change in leadership, and now they're trying to change rules that they put in place, the rules that they set, because many of these states have been controlled by Republicans, and so they're the ones who set these rules, and because people voted and followed the rules, now they want to change the rules, and that's just not okay.
That's not cool, because, you know, like leaders like Stacey Abrams for years has been fighting for expanded voting rights. And when we were able to get that done in Georgia, then somebody said, hey, wait a minute, let's put the brake on that. Let's start looking at voting by mail. And now they want to limit voting by mail, which was huge in Georgia. So I think, you know, we all need to start paying attention and speak up, because the things we take for granted could be taken away from us in a minute if people vote against us, the people who really want to make a difference and vote. So so how does this impact the rest of the country if these draconian laws passes in Georgia?
Right, yeah. So, you know, some of the things that, you know, a lot of people, like when they think about voter suppression, they, you know, think it's something that just happens here or happens in the South or just happens in, you know, Republican-run states. But it's happening all over the country. In Montana, Republicans are pushing to end Election Day voter registration. In Missouri, they're pushing to implement new voter ID requirements, even though one has already been struck down in the past by the courts. New Hampshire, they're trying to punish out-of-state college students from voting and same-day registration. And then in Florida, the governor, he has proposed eliminating and banning mail-in ballots from being sent to residents who did not request one, restricting the use of drop boxes and imposing tougher signatures to verify, which, you know, the thing is, I want to make people understand, too, the way it affects the rest of the country is there's going to be these Supreme Court cases coming up. So, you know, there's, you know, depending on what happens in one state, that can set a precedent in a for a court case for another state. And then next thing you know, we see a widespread, restriction on ballot access. And then another way that people don't really understand how this impacts them, regardless of your party or who you voted for, it can really impact taxpayers because, excuse me, here in Georgia, one of the bills, what they wanted to do was eliminate third parties from offering grants to counties so they can administer their elections. So sometimes a county might need more money to administer an election. You know, like for instance, during the pandemic, they needed, you know, more PPE, they needed more staff, they had to take more safety precautions. So that can cost more money, and that means you might have to hire more staff. So sometimes counties don't have enough money or they don't have as much money as they need to administer these elections, so they apply for grants from, you know, nonpartisan organizations who will give them a grant to be able to help them administer elections. So now, you know, when there's all these recounts and baseless claims about voter fraud and things like that, and then the county has to fight that, that takes away money from the county, and then the taxpayer has to foot that bill no matter what. And then sometimes it could even bankrupt an entire county with all of these, all these fees and things in order for them to administer an election. So that can be a change from having 5 early voting locations open to not having enough money to do that. So then now you only have 2 early voting locations open. So these things all suppress the vote. It doesn't matter what party you're in or who you voted for. It impacts everybody.
That's right. And, you know, it's easy for people to talk about democracy, but protecting it is one thing. We see one party trying to expand and strengthen voting rights, and then we see one party trying to suppress it. And so when we look at it, like you say, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican, Democrat, or Independent. All of us should be concerned because we all have friends and family in our circle who are disabled, who are elderly, who have children, who are working 9 to 5, who need those extra hours in the day on election day, or who needs a weekend. We have people who get in a bus on a Sunday and go souls to the polls. So we all have to pay attention because all of us are going to be affected if an American citizen is not able to cast a legal vote.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And I mean, for everyone, you know, who is an American citizen, you're afforded that right, and there is no reason why that right, you know, should be taken away from you or, you know, trying to deter you from being able to let your voice be heard. And so it's just so important for all the people to really, who, you know, care about democracy, not even just about politics, but just about our democracy, to, you know, stand up. And it can be a bipartisan issue, because there are definitely some Republicans who, you know, they're not even totally clear if these are the smartest things to do, because this could be something that also impacts them and their constituents. So everyone, you know, who cares about democracy needs to, you know, think long and hard and make sure you're on the right side of history in protecting the vote.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you were working on John Ossoff's campaign and with Stacey Abrams, I kept thinking, gee, what would it be like to be near Stacey Abrams? And a friend of mine just texted me and she said, ask you to take a minute or two and talk a little bit about Stacey and John Ossoff. I mean, I knew you were, it was, for us watching you, we were like, oh my God, look what Robin is doing. So talk to us a little bit about the campaign and a little bit of what was going on.
Sure. Well, Stacey, as well as her team, everyone at, you know, Fair Fight, you know, they're just really hard workers. You know, I really feel like they're like American heroes, but they're just everyday people who are just doing the hard work of it all. And thankfully we were able to see the results of all of that come, you know, the election day and the runoff. But Senator John Ossoff, I've just always been a supporter of his for, you know, several years now since I've lived here in Georgia. And he is just a strong, dynamic voice, as well as, you know, Senator Raphael Warnock. So we're just very fortunate to have both of them as our newly elected senators and, you know, making history with the first African-American senator from the state of Georgia and the first Jewish senator from the state of Georgia. And so they just really have represented us so well. And what was really nice as far as the John Ossoff runoff campaign was that they really embraced reaching out to people, everyday people who maybe didn't normally have, any political experience or people who had never been involved in campaigns before. And they hired a couple of thousand community mobilizers. And that was the program that I worked with as the regional mobilizing manager. And so he hired about 2,000 or so community mobilizers who went out there and used relational organizing to talk to their family and friends and get them to the polls during the runoff. So it was very successful. And, you know, the best thing that, you know, any state can do is to really invest in people in the community and
to suppress communities. You have a lot of communities that are forgotten. They're suppressed communities that they call them. And you're right, because you don't see activists in those communities like you do elsewhere. And I think that was the winning strategy that Stacey Abrams and John Ossoff and Reverend Warnock, every time Kelly Loeffler will call him a radical liberal, blah, 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 I wanted to say, you know, I was like sitting in Florida and saying, please don't say those words because it's not true. But we have one more quick question for you, and we have 2 minutes before the segment closes.
What can people do if they don't live in Georgia? How can we help you?
Yes. So people who do not live in Georgia, you want to contact your member of Congress, your representative and senator and senators and representatives, and ask them to pass the For the People Act or H.R. 1, and also ask them to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. This is H.R. 4. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in a quote unquote blue state or you already know that your representative supports this. Just make your voice heard today, because what happens in Georgia and Arizona, because we're those two states are like the pilot programs for more voter suppression laws in other parts of the country. So when you call your representative, you could say, hey, look at what's happening in Georgia today. We need to pass the For the People's Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act as soon as possible. And just really encourage them to do that. And then again, see if you can see that documentary All In. It really kind of lays out everything from the inception of this country to now, and it really gives you a great context of what we're up against and why it's so important to keep fighting to make sure that your voice and vote's heard.
Right. And, you know, Robin, the right to vote is essential to the America's democracy, and we should all fight to protect it. Do you have a website or a phone number or anything that someone could contact you by? We have 15 seconds.
Sure. Well, if you're on Facebook, we have a great Facebook group called Team Stacey Abrams Grassroots. So you can join our Facebook group. I post all kind of calls to action from around the country, as well as in Georgia. And we do.
And we are out of time, unfortunately, but we will make sure that Facebook page is posted.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you so much for calling in.
You're
folks,
welcome.
Thank you so much for listening and for supporting us each and every week here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends from Cocoa, Florida. Thank you all so much. We'll see you next week here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.